Please stand by for a special podcast from Two Works For You.
And welcome to another edition of Beyond the Forecast. I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike Collier. I appreciate everybody subscribing to this podcast. It has been really incredible, the response and the listenership. It's been wonderful. So thank you for listening to this and share it with your friends if you could. As we continue to talk about topics mostly off weather with the occasional storms coming around, we'll get into those when necessary. But it's also good to go around the community because we have a lot of great things going on. We have a lot of wonderful companies that are owned by people that live here in Tulsa, and I really try to spotlight those. And I'm really honored to have a guest here today. And before I introduce him properly here, I just want to mention he is the kindest, nicest business owner I think I've ever met. And I'm glad to have here Bill Knight with us today. Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the kind words.
So Bill Knight Ford, let's talk about Bill Knight and kind of how you got started in your career. Where did that all begin?
Yeah, Mike, my career started in 1984, so a long time ago, and which is hard to believe when I think about it. But my vision, I was born in Baltimore, but I would say grew up in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And so kind of grew up there and went to college just north of Pittsburgh, a small school. And my vision and my goal in life was to be in radio and television.
Really?
It was, yeah.
Okay.
And so I was kind of a behind-the-scenes guy. I had a radio and TV production degree, and that was what I wanted to do. And then when I graduated from college, it's a college called Westminster College, north of Pittsburgh, I went to work for CNN. I did an internship with them in 1984. So this is real early.
Right.
CNN.
Was this Ted Turner?
Georgetown.
What's that? Did Ted Turner still own it at that time?
Yes, sure did. It was before the Gulf War.
Okay.
So they really hadn't grown. They had one bureau outside of Atlanta, and that was in Georgetown. And my wife was going to college, and my girlfriend at the time.
Sure, right.
We've been together a long time, and so she was going to school in D.C. I thought this would work out great, and so they offered me a job there working for the Evans and Novak show. It was a Sunday morning political show, and to be kind of an assistant producer for $4 an hour. And all the overtime I could work, but no overtime pay, which I thought, and I thought at the time that sounded perfect. And so I told my dad about it, and he made me do the math. Take $4. How many hours are you going to work? I said, I don't know, 50 or 60.
Right.
And he goes, do you know how much money you're going to make? And I said, well, I'm going to live with my aunt in Annapolis, and then I'll and so I did that for a very short period of time and realized that that really wasn't going to work out very well. And then a friend of mine who went to work for Ford Motor Company out of college told me there was an opening in Pittsburgh and as an owner relations analyst, and that was answering customer complaints, and you should come interview for the job.
Oh, wow.
And it was paying $27,000 a year.
Okay.
Which I thought I was going to be like a millionaire. And so moved back to Pittsburgh. My wife's a nurse. So I moved back to Pittsburgh in 85. We got married in 85. And so I had a 14-year career at Ford.
Okay.
Moved around from Pittsburgh to Detroit to Denver to back to Detroit. And then after 14 years, had an opportunity to work for Don to come to Tulsa.
Uh-huh.
And then once I showed my wife on a map where Tulsa was on our kids' little place map.
Where?
Where's Tulsa? Where's Oklahoma?
Right.
And so so we came, and I left Ford in 1998, and then we packed our parachutes and moved to Oklahoma.
Okay.
Moved to Tulsa in 1998. You started right around. When did you start at KTUL?
2001.
So I remember. I remember when you started, so I knew it was not that far.
Sure. Right.
So went to work for Don Thornton for a period of time.
Okay.
Don recently passed. I said the man changed my life because he convinced me to leave Ford and really a pretty good career. But we didn't like moving. That was hard for us. You know, our kids were 8 and 9 at the time, and I knew if I stayed there, we were going to do a lot of moving. And
right.
That was, I could tell, I think that works for some families. It was really hard for us. And so we came to Tulsa. I worked for Don for a while, and then our company was purchased by Penske Automotive. So I worked for Roger Penske Sr. for like a year and a half, which was quite the experience.
Sure.
And learned a ton. And then worked for them for 8 years. And then had the opportunity with Roger's help in 2008 to buy our Ford store that we have now and the Lincoln Mercury Volvo dealership that we have now as well. So did that in 2008, and the economy fell apart in September of 2008. We took over in June, and economy fell apart in September. So that was, all good character building things. So we were able to.
I love the positive spin on that.
Well, I said, people said, are you going to be okay? I said, did you put everything you had into this? I said, oh, no, I put everything I had plus stuff I didn't have into this. I said, so I don't have a choice. Right. We're going to have to make this work. And the really cool part, we have a great team. And at the time, I think when we took over, we had about 170 employees. Now we have 320.
Wow.
And so it's really grown quite a bit. And, just love Tulsa, love Oklahoma. It's really been home for us now. And,
right.
And just love the people here. And, Tulsa's obviously been really great for us. And so, at this point in my career, it's great. It's great to be able to do things to give back and, kind of hopefully create some kind of legacy that keeps things going.
Sure.
And I love the fact that we are here and, we have a great team.
And I bring that up because, we hear the names and we're like, oh, that guy must be over in, New York City or wherever.
Right.
But you live here.
I do. I get that a lot. So there really is a Bill Knight. And I'm like, yeah.
I'm right here.
That's all we got. Yeah. I saw a gentleman today. He was filling out an application on our showroom. And I walked by. He goes, do you work here? I said, I do. And I have a question. So it's just, we're here and I spend a lot of time just working on our team and,
sure.
Trying to make sure so I've done this 37 years, which is hard to say sometimes, but it's probably as exciting a time and as challenging a time that I've had. And now my son works in the business,
which
I'm really excited about. And he and his wife, I told him if he wanted to get in the car business, he needed to go somewhere else.
So right.
He worked in Northwest Arkansas for a few years and then went to San Diego and worked there for a few years. And I think it says a lot about Tulsa that he wanted to move back home.
That's great.
And so he and his wife moved back here about 2 years ago, and they have a young daughter just born in December.
Grandpa
grandpa.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Papa is what they call me.
Okay.
So I'll still get used to that.
Yeah.
But love it. And then and my son-in-law works for us now, too. So he moved here. They'd lived in Dallas for 9 years.
Okay.
And then moved back here in May of last year.
So it really is a family affair.
It is. Yeah. And I'm really proud of that, And we've really put roots down here and really proud of really proud of them being back and being part of Tulsa.
Sure.
I think that's important for us. And so, we don't do things perfectly all the time, but we try really hard and again,
hear you on that.
That works.
You're right.
And so I think just, we love what, my son went away for 4 years and came back to kind of a different Tulsa, of a sudden the Gathering Place is here. And I think our restaurant scene is as good as you get.
Right. And your area out south is growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah. And the growth is unbelievable. And, so it makes me proud to be in Tulsa. And I never, like when you can imagine, all of our family is from Pittsburgh and
right.
all of my friends, and the first, they'd say, where are you moving this time? And I'd say, we're going to move to Tulsa. And the first question would be, why?
Why?
But everybody that comes here, right? You have the same experience, I'm sure.
Yeah, my dad is from Philadelphia.
Okay.
He's talked to me about those same questions as well. And he worked for Citgo Petroleum.
Okay.
Ford has always had a close place in my heart because my grandfather was a Ford diehard. As a kid, that's, the Thunderbirds, the Cougars is what I grew up in,
right.
And he instilled in me, you get Ford or nothing else.
Yeah.
And it seemed like he was getting new Thunderbirds every other year. And actually from Thornton. So It is close to my heart. The Ford brand, I mean, it is American just to the core.
It is. Yeah.
And
yeah. And everything I have is because of Ford. So I'm really loyal to Ford.
Sure.
Know? And so, and I think there are very few brands of any kind that have the legacy of Ford. And sometimes that cannot be so good, especially when you're going through this transition that we're going through right now.
Right.
But I think it's still an American icon.
It sure is. My first car was a Ford Taurus SHL.
Oh, with the manual transmission.
Yeah.
The Yamaha engine.
Oh, man, that thing.
It would go.
It would go. Yeah. For a Taurus? I mean, like.
That's right.
Yeah. My friends always wanted me to drive
that. That's funny.
It had that super high horsepower. It just was.
Yeah, it did.
It was awesome to drive.
That's funny.
Thank God, no accidents or anything. I was pretty responsible for the most part, Mom and Dad, if you're listening, for the most part. But let's go on from that because that could get me in trouble. But anyway, so now we're going from, the technology in life and computers is just rapidly expanding and continuing to develop. And here we are with electric vehicles coming along the line. I've heard about the Ford Lightning, mm-hmm. the F-150. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I think it's been an interesting journey. People like to either praise or bash Tesla, and I would say what Elon Musk has done is jumpstart the whole transition to electric vehicles, and you have to give them credit. They've really pushed the other OEMs to get on board, but it took a minute for Ford's a big company,
sure.
a big global company, and it's a big ship that needed to be turned. And I give a lot of credit to Jim Farley, the current CEO, who has brought a vision and an urgency to the future to really change what they do and not use electric vehicles as a compliance play, mm-hmm. right? Not to make electric vehicles that just are compliant,
sure.
but make them fun.
Yeah.
And make them, and so, so the strategy then became, let's electrify the icons. So the icons that start, and everybody, you can argue whether the Mach-E is a Mustang or not. That's a probably a conversation for another day. But that was our first all-electric vehicle, the Mach-E. It's really more of an SUV.
Okay.
And it's a fantastic electric vehicle. And then here comes the F-150 Lightning.
Which is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so, because it's a, I said it's not, and to me, what's most important is when you look at Mach-E and you look at Lightning, these are not $100,000 vehicles.
Sure.
It is vastly more simple to design and build a vehicle for a very small elite crowd.
Right.
And charge $100,000
right.
for them. And build, maybe build 100,000. When you move into the scale, mm-hmm. and that's what Ford is. Ford's a mass brand.
Right.
Then you have to figure it out. So when we sell our Mach-Es today, and we transact those at $36,000 to $45,000. So they're comparable to other new vehicles, right in the middle of where they are. And then here comes the Lightning, and it's a fully functional F-150.
Okay.
And it's with an electric battery. That is fully functional as a truck that starts at $34,000.
Wow.
Goes up to 90.
Sure.
But starts at 34,000. So that fleet
yeah.
that it makes sense for can work. And it's real. I mean, it's a real product with real capability. What they've done to be able to reverse the charge out of the truck into your house to allow your house to use it as a generator.
Wow.
Is game changing.
Yeah. Cause I mean, think about the severe weather we have here.
That's right. So think about when we're doing those severe weather and you lose power and can't watch you tell me where the tornado's coming. Now I can literally with the flip of a switch, plug it into the truck and wow. it'll operate your house for up to 3 days.
That's amazing.
It's amazing stuff. It really is. And that's kind of where, you know, because I said it's the difference between there are vehicles like a Toyota Prius, which had a wonderful place,
sure,
in, but it was a hybrid that then that they turned into more of a, but it was a, it's not a very sexy car.
I get
it. It's not a very fun car to drive, but it's a compliant car.
Yes.
And I think that is what is different about where Ford's going.
And now, I do want to interject that, I want to be careful because I know there's a lot of Tesla fans out there, and I get it. And I applaud Elon for his brilliancy and just what he's been able to accomplish. And, you know, to me, aesthetically at times, I don't know if it's very appealing, the Teslas. They don't. But you take an iconic truck like the F-150, and that seems like a big game changer in the market.
It is. And the really cool part, and I think this is what is exciting for me about it, is when you take the engine away and you take the transmission away, the design of the vehicle opens up so many things that you know, because all of us have the bias of a hood, a roof line, and a trunk or a bed.
Yeah.
Right? We all have that.
Yep.
That's how a vehicle's supposed to look.
Right.
When Tesla's Cybertruck comes out, and it looks like a spaceship.
It does, yeah.
It gets everybody, ooh, wait, I don't like that.
Right.
But the way they designed it is the best way for an EV to work, and that's really low coefficient of drag.
I got you.
So it's gonna have a longer range.
Okay.
And so, but it doesn't have a hood, and it doesn't really have a roof line.
Sure.
And it has a small bed on the back. But those are the really cool things. So I think what's really hard for a legacy manufacturer like a Ford or a Chevrolet at the corporate level is to open up the minds of their design teams.
Gotcha.
And say, hey, we don't need to put a hood on this thing anymore. Mm-hmm. And it'll be really interesting to me, Canoe, that's agreed to come to Oklahoma and build build their all electric vehicle. They probably have a design that's as far forward as anything that I've seen, but it's pushing the cab way forward.
Okay.
And because there's no hood,
right?
There's no engine.
Right.
And it allows you to open things up in the cab. So
will the Lightning actually have a hood? Will it look like a traditional F-150?
This one will.
Okay.
This one will. So the hood is covering up now what we are going to call a frunk. So the trunk in
like
front.
I like that. My lingo right there.
So frunk. Think about, you pull up to a tailgate and you hit your key fob and the hood of the frunk, and it's a cooler inside.
That's sweet.
Right? So those are the things that, and the lighting in the vehicle is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's built on a platform that was intended to be an internal combustion engine platform. What's coming next is a whole series of platforms that were designed to be battery electric.
Okay.
And when you see that, and that'll be the next generation Lightning, when you see that, it takes us to a place. So now we can fit more things in the truck. So for example, an F-150 could be a 3-row vehicle.
Wow.
And still have a 5-foot bed on the back.
Right.
And not be any longer than we are today.
Huh.
Because we really don't need that frunk,
sure,
because we can push everything up.
That's interesting. I never thought about that.
Right. So those are to me, those are the really exciting things that are out there. I mean, we've got a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of, there'll be a lot of mashing of teeth over infrastructure.
Sure.
And it's, you know, it's coming.
So when do we expect the Lightning to be on the lot for you?
We'll have our first one probably in June or July.
Wow.
Yeah.
That soon. Will you invite me over just to see
it?
Yes.
Okay. We'll have a loaner. You'll have to come. Here's the other thing. It when you drive an electric vehicle, they are fun.
Oh, really?
Drive.
I've never driven one.
They are driving. It's like driving a roller coaster.
Really?
Because the electricity spools up so quickly that there's no, the torque is right when you hit it.
That makes sense.
So I was fortunate enough to drive the Lightning.
Okay.
The other thing that happens is the battery is pretty heavy and it's right in the middle.
Uh-huh.
So the gravity of the vehicle or the weight of the vehicle is right in the middle.
Uh-huh.
So it handles like a sports car.
Wow.
So it drives, it's really fast.
Yeah.
And it handles like a dream. And you've got all this functionality to it. So it's now, you know, it's going to be interesting. Range, people say, what's the range? Well, the range is probably going to be somewhere in the 250 range.
Okay.
But if you put, you know, if you put a ton of gravel in the bed, the range is going to go down
sure.
quite a bit. If you tow a boat, you know, so the functionality, it's just the beginnings of, you know, so I envision.
And this is something you would charge every night, right? Pretty much.
Yeah, and you see a lot of charging stations around.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reality is people want to charge at home.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, you need a 220 charger at home to make it so you're not charging like for 12 hours.
Okay. And how long would it take then?
Then it would take 4 hours.
Okay.
So pretty much you come home and you just plug it in at night and you literally leave your house with a full tank of gas every day.
Everywhere, right. Yeah.
You know, but if I want to drive to Dallas,
yeah,
that's, you know, no one wants to pull off and charge for an hour and a half.
Sure.
So those are the things. But here's the thing that I think that people that we'll see, they'll solve all those problems.
Right.
You know, there's fast
if you build
chargers.
It, they will come, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And they're going to solve all that as technology gets better and fast chargers come and batteries get you know, have longer life.
Right.
A lot of questions yet to be to be answered that I don't know really have answers yet, but it is coming, and I think that's what I try to tell people.
Maintenance wise, you know, are you going to be geared up to be able to repair these?
Yeah, so great question. Big implication for us, mm-hmm. right? So, no engine,
yeah.
right? No
yeah.
transmission,
right?
So basically, it's brakes, and it's tires,
uh-huh.
and it's a battery,
right?
And that's it.
That's crazy. I don't even think about that before even asking that question. I'm thinking, okay, we'll still get it. Well, no, right. don't do yeah. that.
So big implications for us, you know, yeah. in terms of, you know, what does that mean to a service department down the road? I think that's a long way down the road before we really have to potentially deal with that. But yeah, those are, you know, like we've probably sold 10 Mustang Mach-Es so far.
Okay.
And, you know, haven't heard from him since.
No, wow.
You know, so
I haven't even seen that personally myself. So that's another thing I need to look into. I love Mustangs. Love
yeah.
them. So, you know, we're heading the future. Is there any plan for Ford to say this vehicle will become all electric no matter what in a certain year? Has there been any plans by Ford with that?
Yeah, there's been a lot of public statements about that. I think globally what they talk about is what will the EV percentage be by the end of the decade? And Ford is saying about 50%.
Okay.
And to me, you know, and that's globally.
Sure.
So there'll be some areas of, you know, the world that are 100% ICE still because there's no infrastructure. I think in the U.S. it's still going to be in the 50-60 range. And
gotcha.
That's if, you know, that, and that's, you're projecting a pretty far way out there. So,
right.
But I think end of decade is what I tell people. It's
sure.
a great way to think about, you know,
right.
what's happening. What should you do today? Should you go buy one? Should you go? I would say you should drive one.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're really cool. You know,
right.
they're really cool.
You know, and this is just, again, I'm not in the industry, so please forgive me if this is just totally way off base question. But I've heard that some people maybe had some financing issues with the Teslas. Is that going to be an issue here in our state with the F-150?
So I think, you know, the challenge there is, can you lease it?
Oh, okay.
So if you lease it, somebody's got to say, what's it worth in 3 years?
Sure.
And I think no one's really ready to jump out there and say
right.
that, you know. So leasing has been a bit of an issue, but we're going to need to find a way
right.
To make these affordable for everybody.
Sure.
And that's what I love about Ford is that it's building electric vehicles for everyone, not
right.
just a few.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. That's Ford. That's what I, when if I ever get an opportunity for feedback to them, it's that, is that we can't forget who we are.
Right.
And I always love, I always think about the thing that's, when people push back on the electrics, I always think to what Henry Ford said, before the Model T came. If I would have asked people what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse.
Right. Right.
And if you think about the very early cars that were designed, they looked like carriages.
Right.
Because that was the point of view.
Sure.
And if you look at today, 120 years later,
right,
the first EVs that are designed look like what we're used to.
Yeah.
And so that's the paradigm that'll, I think, will change over time. And it, I think it's, in a state like Oklahoma where, obviously oil and gas is important to us. I think there's going to be a way there. You know, when you think about the things that drive America, the working trucks, the vans, there's going to be a delivery van that's going to be all electric. Actually, we have one coming that's going to be all electric, and those work great in an urban environment.
Right.
I don't know so much about, when you need long range on them. And, right. And so I think, it's a long time yet before. And I think hopefully – I'm never a believer in always and never and everything
sure.
or nothing. It'll be somewhere where there'll be a transition.
Yep.
And I think it's probably for our kids to understand what that looks like.
One last question for you, and that is, I know inventory has been tough recently with all the pandemic. Do you foresee that issue resolving itself in near term, longer term? As a business owner, I mean, what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's probably the biggest issue that we have in front of us right now, and doesn't matter what brand, everybody's struggling.
Sure, right.
I would say my educated guess is that that we're in this for a while.
Okay.
And whether it's because what we're feeling right now, we thought things would get better by late first, early second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing is actually getting worse. And what that is just Omicron working its way through the system.
Makes sense.
So it's whether it's chip shortage or production shortage. Now we have the truckers in Canada that have shut off the Ambassador Bridge, so they can't bring parts from Canada to the U.S.
Oh,
so
wow.
We have a whole nother,
oh, no.
Just when you think you can't make this stuff up sometimes. So that all happened this week. But I think we're in this for a while. Typically at our dealership, in our Ford store in Tulsa, we'd have 350 vehicles on the ground. Today we have 8.
Wow.
So that's the difference.
Wow. Do you have any of the new Broncos right now?
We don't.
No. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Those are hard to find.
They're beautiful.
They are. And Ford just hit a home run with those. And
yeah.
So I think there's a happier medium than somewhere between. I don't look forward to days of 350 because I think we confused people. Mm-hmm. There were too many choices.
Right.
So but I'd like to have more than 8.
Sure.
So hopefully, I think what everybody that will settle into something that'll be better than it is today, but not where it was maybe 3 years ago. But it's a big challenge. It's changing the way people shop.
Right.
And that's what I tell. I say what I would do if I were shopping is I would go online. I would do all my research. Like with us today, you can literally buy a car online and never come in if that's what you want.
Yeah.
Or you can come in and do everything if
right.
that's what you want. So it's find a place you're comfortable with. Don't pay over MSRP.
right.
Because that's a lot of that happening too.
Well, hey, if you're listening now, just know that, Bill is truly a nice guy, just a wonderful down-to-earth human being. Bill, thank you so much for taking time to come up to the station, visit with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.